Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, everybody. We are working on the next episode, but I came across something that I want to quickly share with you, and it made me think about something fun I'm hoping we all can do together, you and me and the whole United States of Anxiety crew. And I'll get to that ask in just a minute, but first, I need to have a short conversation to set it up. So I have with me here on video chat, Soraya Nadia McDonald. She's the culture critic for The Undefeated, which is an awesome publication that, like us, thinks a lot about how race intersects with culture. Soraya, hey, thanks for getting together with me.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
You're here in Brooklyn too, right?
I am, yes. So there may be, you know, a siren or two in the background.
These sirens do get a bit haunting after a while. So late last week, I was obsessively reading Twitter, and I saw this article you wrote about how race shaped the response to the 1918 flu. And I want to say, dear listener, you're thinking, I thought we were going someplace fun. I don't think how this is going to be fun, but bear with me. I promise we are going to get there. But Soraya, first off, what made you write this article? What were you trying to achieve?
Well, you know, sort of at the beginning of the reporting, when we first started hearing about COVID-19, I noticed that people, you know, in their efforts to sort of find a corollary, were often referencing the 1918 flu pandemic. Mm-hmm. And because of sort of the mission of The Undefeated, the first thing that popped into my mind when I hear the year 1918 is Jim Crow.
Yep.
And so, you know, I had a conversation with my editor that was basically, you know, I wonder how these disparities and this like very regimented segregation ends up affecting medical care.
Well, and as you wrote, one thing that popped into your mind also, this is the Great Migration. We've talked about it on the show, this
exactly.
period where there were just millions of Black people moving from the South to these northern cities.
Yes.
And that was part of the story.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a big part of this story because like part of the way that the Great Migration gets discussed in mainstream newspapers, namely the Chicago Tribune, is there's a lot of alarmism about these Black people coming up from the South and this idea that they're bringing disease with them, that these aren't like the high quality Black people who are coming. All of these sorts of anxieties, frankly, about these folks who are leaving the South in droves, you know, trying to escape the racialized violence there in terms of lynching, in terms of sexual violence. And then they get to Chicago. And what you see really is how these folks get like cordoned off and relegated to the South side of the city, right? To just sort of like really restrict their movements, you know, where they can live, where Black people are allowed to, you know, if they can afford to even buy a home, buy a home, or a lot of times rent.
And this area that the South Side of Chicago that has now come to be all these generations later known to be synonymous with everything from Barack Obama to gun violence, you know,
exactly.
It's just this iconic place for Black people.
Yeah, and it's also home to the nation's first Black-owned and operated hospital, Provident Hospital, which ends up being really important during the 1918 pandemic because it's one of the few places that Black people can go when they get sick.
Yeah. So one thing that jumped off the page at me in this history, and you don't go into detail about it in the story, so I'm hoping right now is when you can do that for me, is a historian you quoted mentioned this thing that happened in Chicago in those cordoned off Black ghettos when Chicago officials recommended that everybody start wearing face masks when they went outside. Can you tell me that story? What happened?
Yeah. The professor that you're referring to to, her name is Betsy Schroeder Schlebach. She's a professor at Earlham College in Indiana. And one of the things she talked about was that, like, even in the midst of this pandemic, Black women still want to be stylish when they go outside.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a women's magazine in that period called Broad Axe, but Broad is B-R-O-A-D. And so the Broad Axe is reporting about these very, like, cultured Black ladies who are returning from Paris, right, with, like, the latest fashions and trends. And one of those includes these things they call flu veils. So, you know, the modern corollary would be masks. But basically, like, there are these really just sort of, like, ornately decorated masks. Sometimes they're embroidered with jewels, you know, made with this really, like, beautiful French lace. Because these ladies are like, if we gotta go out, like, we are going to be fly while we're doing it.
Yes. Why were they so? It's funny because we don't, you know, we just heard about, like, people coming from poverty into these ghettos, but at the same time, in those neighborhoods, there's these women coming back from Paris, and
exactly.
Why were they coming back from Paris?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing, right? Like, there is, you know, a tremendous sort of mix in terms of class on the South Side, because it doesn't really matter how much money you have. If you're Black, you're still, you know, because of restrictive housing covenants, that's where you end up living anyway, right? So you have, like, this amazing mix of people.
So what did you take from this? When you read this story, or you heard the story about these women who started tricking out their masks, what'd you take from that? Why'd you include that detail?
Well, because, like, there's so much information that feels really heavy, you know, like, it's not necessarily the most uplifting story overall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you start sort of putting together the ways that housing segregation and environmental racism and all of these things have these really detrimental effects on public health for Black folks. But, you know, through it all, there is this really strong tradition of, you know, surveying our surroundings and our situations and trying to make the best of things and always trying to find joy and pleasure in things.
Yeah.
And in this particular instance, it's these really beautiful, bejeweled flu veils.
Well, I found inspiration in it, in this effort to take joy. One of our producers, Verlyn Williams, just that very day was telling me about choosing joy. And
yes.
So when I read this, I had that on my heart.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah. And that brings us to my request and why we're having this conversation. We have all been asked to start covering our mouths and noses when we go out of our homes. The idea, just to remind everybody, is to make sure those of us who may have the virus and don't know it don't make other people sick, right? Like, that's why we need to do this. This is our social responsibility. But it's pretty heavy, right? And so I just love the idea that why don't we all take a fashion moment out of this and trick out our masks as these women did in 1918? Because it's an accessory. It's an opportunity to accessorize. I love an accessory, Soraya. You're now learning that about me. I love it on myself. I love it on others. So here's what we're going to do. Get your look together, everybody. Get it together, however you're going to do it. Take a selfie and post it on Twitter with the hashtag USofAnxiety2020. Or you can just tag me at Kai_right. That's Kai_right. I'm going to put mine up, and this is not a competition. This is not about who does the most. It's about you doing you. If it's an understated, simple look, show it off. If it's big and it's loud and it's bold, show it off, whatever it's going to be. Soraya, are you going to get yours together? Are you going to have a look?
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday because I finally had to go and, like, make the trek to the drugstore to get my allergy meds. And on my way back, like, I had a scarf over my face, but I was thinking, you know, I missed the window to dress up as Sister Knight from Watchmen for Halloween.
Oh.
And I'm like, this is a really weird opportunity where I can actually, like, go back and maybe correct that.
Okay, girl. All right. I mean, I don't know how I'll feel about that walking down the street, because Sister Knight was kind of, you know, She was coming for folks, but...
She's a nun with a gun, man.
Oh, that's going to be you. Okay, everybody. Well, get yours together. I'm going to be looking out. Hashtag US of Anxiety 2020 or tag me at Kai_Wright. And we will be back with our next episode soon. Take care.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.